WDIY presents Lehigh Valley Art Salon, showcasing the arts in every form.
Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Karen Elchar. My guests today are Diane Wittry, Maestra of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Al Jacobson, Allentown Symphony Association Executive Director. Welcome, Al.
Hello, Karen. Glad to be here as well.
Yes, it's wonderful. Unfortunately, we're not necessarily doing this in person as we normally do during the orchestra season. So it's a pleasure, though, to have you both on this program. Thank you. Diane, refresh my memory. Is this the 26th anniversary year for you?
This would be. We got the 25th season we were almost finished with, but as everybody knows, because of COVID, we had to cancel or postpone our final concert in April. We will be doing that concert a year from now to end the season. So, yes, it's my 26th season.
Well, it's wonderful. So, excellent. And it was a pleasure to have you in for your 25th as well. Diane and Al, you've done so much during the tenure here with the symphony. Unfortunately, set of circumstances regarding COVID intervened. However, we move onwards. So, Diane, tell us about the Allentown Symphony and your concerts at the moment.
Well, as many people know, we had to completely redo everything within our programming. And I will say we had to redo it more than once because the COVID situation continued longer, obviously, than we all thought. But we came up with some really, really exciting programming that is still available for people to view on demand. So we started with concerts in Miller Symphony Hall on the stage with our musicians, but used a chamber-size ensemble. And so our concert that we did in October was Mozart and More. And one of the things I decided was to feature members from the orchestra. So that concert featured Rick Bayshore, our principal oboe, and Fran Duffy, our principal harp. The November concert, we did Beethoven's 250th anniversary, and that was the Beethoven Septet and also the Beethoven Trio. In December, we did a really fun holiday pops with our brass section and percussion, and we featured Wayne Turney from DeSales University as our narrator, and that's still available. And then we just completed our family concert of Peter and the Wolf with a woodwind quintet and a narrator, Veronica Boyson from the Swain School, and that is available up online on demand. And the really great thing about that is we partnered with the Baum School of Art, who helped us get the word out for young people in the community to draw pictures of the different characters of Peter and the duck and the bird and the wolf and the hunters. And we showed this artwork behind the orchestra during this performance. And this performance is available not only on demand, but also available for schools to order. I think it's a $15 fee, and the entire class can watch the Peter and the Wolf. So we're trying to still get out there to the community, but we're doing it in different ways than we normally have done it in the past.
Let me also ask, besides the orchestration, obviously is phenomenal, but the camera, the way you're presenting it, so can you talk a little bit about, I've heard comments that it is very personal, people from who have been watching, in fact, myself, it's a very personal view of the musicians. So you're bringing the musicians closer to your audience, quite frankly.
We are. And, you know, one of the things that we decided early on is we didn't want to just set up a camera. And we wanted to make sure what we were doing was, you know, video quality, broadcast quality. And so we are very fortunate that we have Kevin Kernan on our staff at Symphony Hall already, and he stepped up and is working with the camera crews, and we're using 5 cameras that are preset, and we have actually hired a score reader, Will Rapp, who's phenomenal, and he tells the cameras where the melodies are going to be, who to feature, and then we have a separate audio engineer, and so we work together as a team. And then many of the concerts now are being scripted, so the holiday concert, obviously, each piece was introduced by a narrator, the same thing for the Peter and the Wolf concert. And then the earlier concerts, we actually had our musicians introducing pieces. So it is a really great way to get to know the musicians personally. And then the cameras take you up close and personal. You get to see the fingers. You get to really see the interaction in their eyes and their body language that sometimes you can't see when you're further back in the hall. So I think it's a wonderful way for us to feature our musicians and to stay connected with our audiences during COVID times.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of very positive comments. And so it's, you know, you've done a phenomenal job ensuring concerts continue and then also featuring the individual musicians and orchestra sections, or as you had here, the brass and the percussion. So you've got some concerts coming up as well.
We do, and I'm really, really excited about those concerts also. Originally, we were going to be doing a concert on Valentine's Day weekend, and so I kind of ran with that idea, and we're filming on Valentine's weekend, but it will actually be available to everybody on February 27th. There'll be a live premiere stream, and that's really fun to join for the premiere stream because we all get on there and we chat and we cheer the musicians on as the concert's happening. But this program will feature our concertmaster Eliezer Gutman and our acting principal cellist Jameson Platy in an evening of romance, and it's pieces that are just absolutely beautiful. We're opening with Elgar's Salute d'Amour. We're doing the Beethoven Romance. We're doing the Rachmaninoff Vocalise, which will feature Eliezer, our concertmaster. And then we're having four of our members perform the Brahms Piano Quartet in G minor, which is one of my favorites and just a fabulous piece of music. So it's a wonderful way to showcase the orchestra. We'll be doing a Facebook Live interview with the musicians on the day before the stream. So that will be on the 26th of February at 12 o'clock noon. And we've been doing those in the past. So if anybody, you know, wants to check out some of our past ones, if they go to the Allentown Symphony page on Facebook, you can watch. We did a really fun one recently with Peter and the Wolf. And, you know, the musicians play, they answer questions. It's just a nice way to get behind the scenes. And then our concert after that, we have one in March, just to kind of let people know ahead of time. We have a wonderful concert where we're bringing back Irina Mursanu, who was our very first winner of the shop competition. And she's going to be doing the Enesco Romanian Rhapsody No. 1, transcribed for just strings and solo violin. This program is very based in folk music. We're opening with a piece by Jesse Montgomery called Strum. And then we're doing the Dvorak American String Quartet. So that's another really, really exciting program, and that will air on March 27th at 7:30. Got lots of things going on.
So I would say the Romanian Rhapsody is one of my favorites, so I look forward to that program in particular.
yeah, and it's great. This arrangement is amazing. And then she's got some improvisatory cadenzas that she's added that even make it more fun. So.
Excellent. So you mentioned she's a past SHOT competition winner. Would you just like to give a brief synopsis of the SHOT program itself?
Yeah, so the SHOT competition was started my second year with the symphony, and Lee and Edwin Schott were longtime Allentown residents that really felt that playing string instruments was important for young people and important for them to have great role models, and they left a sizable trust to the Allentown Symphony, and part of that is to encourage string playing with young people, and another part of it was to have us mount a competition that would bring exceptionally young string players to the Lehigh Valley. And so this competition now rotates between violin and cello. It's every other year, and it currently has a $12,000 first prize and then a performance with the orchestra. And Irina Mursanu was just an amazing performer that won the first year, and we all just remember her performance so much. So great to have her back.
Yes, and so the SHOT competition is on hold for this year, or are you doing something with it?
Well, because we've gone to an every other year cycle, which we decided the year before COVID, when COVID hit, we're in the off cycle. So bringing Irina back helps us to stay connected to the competition. That's also why I'm featuring her in March, which is when we would normally do the competition.
Right.
And we'll do some special interviews with her. But we are currently accepting submissions for the violin competition, which will happen the following March. We'll have people come here to audition for that.
So the competition itself this year is not occurring, but it will be on track next year.
Exactly.
Excellent. Just wanted to make sure, because I enjoy that competition as well. Plus, having the SHOT competition winners come back and perform. It's nice to see how they've potentially matured, you know, in that since the time that they've actually competed.
Exactly.
All right. So we had been speaking regarding COVID and issues related and how you've amended the concerts very wonderfully, as I keep saying, but it's phenomenal what you've done. So let me turn to Al for a moment. Al, I know you have some particular interest, as do I, with the jazz series. Can you talk a bit about the jazz and onwards?
Sure. Thank you, Karen. The Allentown Symphony owns and operates Miller Symphony Hall as a whole, so we have opportunities for programming across a wide spectrum of genres, and jazz has become a very prominent feature. Our Jazz Upstairs series in the Rodale Room provides monthly, in normal times, monthly jazz cabaret concerts. Well, with COVID, jazz had to take a temporary hiatus last spring and summer. But similar to what is happening with the orchestra, in October, we started debuting new jazz recordings. These done live from the main stage at Miller Symphony Hall, not the Rodale Room. The main stage is a little bit better for recording purposes, and there's more space. The Rodale Room, using restrictions right now, we can only have about 20 people in the Rodale Room at the moment, so that doesn't make things too easy to even do a recording when you include artists and staff and production crew. So we began in October in earnest. We had Don Braden do a live stream. We welcomed him back. He had debuted the year before on the series, fantastic jazz musician from New York. And then in November, we had the great Gene Perla back, and he did a program of three trios where he had three different pianists actually perform. And that one is available on demand still as well. So they put together a great show with a number of artists we love working with. In December, we had Craig Thatcher back, and he did his own take on holiday songs, again, from the hall. And what was interesting with this show was that show occurred right at the beginning of the full-on three-week lockdown that we experienced, where there wasn't any live shows allowed anywhere, but we were able to work around that because we had absolutely no audience members. It was just production and them on stage, and so it was a workplace setting. It was actually more like a recording studio. So we were able to make that happen. We are starting up again with our jazz in March 19th. We're going to have the Eric Koala Great American Songbook. He's going to do some jazz riffs on that. And then we are planning to have Frank DeBussolo back with his group in the spring. And each month thereafter, we have booked out through the summer at this point, different shows which are going to be announced soon. So similar to the orchestra, we've also kept jazz activity happening.
And I am very grateful for that, because I know I've attended several of the jazz series upstairs in the Rodale Room in the past. So, for example, Simon Mulligan, Gene Perla, yes, excellent performances. And so I'm glad it's continuing. We're going to take a brief break. My guests are Diane Witchery, Maestro of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, and Al Jacobson, the Executive Director for Allentown Symphony Association, and we will be right back.
I'm Greg Caponia. WDIY listeners asked for a program that takes a deeper look into the local Lehigh Valley businesses. WDIY and the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce invite you to listen to On Every Main Street every Monday at 6:30 p.m. on 88.1 FM, streaming at WDIY.org and on the new WDIY app.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I'm your host, Karen Elchar, and my guests are Diane Witchery, Maestra of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, and Al Jacobson, Executive Director of the Allentown Symphony Association. Prior to the break, we were talking to Al regarding his jazz series. Do you want to tell us a little bit about El Sistema?
Yes. El Sistema Lehigh Valley is one of the Allentown Symphony's education programs. We have a variety of education programs, some involving the orchestra and so forth. But El Sistema is now in its 10th school year of operation. And this, a little bit of background, almost sort of a pre-COVID about it. We do it in partnership with the Allentown School District, including three schools, primarily at Roosevelt Elementary in Allentown, but also we've been at the middle school, Little Rob Middle School. The program, though, has grown, and pre-COVID, we had about 115 students across 22 different schools in the Lehigh Valley that participated, so outside of Allentown School District as well. And it's a very intensive program. It provides daily, after school and sometimes during school, activity, learning for our students who are learning string instruments and singing as well. So we have teaching artists that are working with the students virtually every day, every school day. COVID hit, and of course, school closed physically in person, but our team, just over a week after the school closings hit in March, that March 12th timeframe, on March 23rd, we restarted the program virtually, and it's been going virtually ever since. So our students are participating. We've lost some, but then we've also gotten some back after some time and technology issues got through. Our teaching artists work with them virtually, giving music lessons. We're using technology to record them and for performances as well. So we've had virtual recitals through Facebook Live and YouTube, where people can watch them perform safely from their homes. And it's been great to keep the program going. We usually have a summer program that lasts the month of July. Well, we actually extended it 2 weeks, so it was 6 weeks into mid-August. And so while we continue with social distancing needs, we're working with what we have to also continue the education portion of the Allentown Symphony's mission with this program.
And it's an excellent program, obviously, really engaging students. And I'm glad to see it's also continued even during this time of COVID. So thank you. It's quite an accomplishment. Diane, would you like to talk a little bit about meeting your various artists? I've seen a number of videos by some of the musicians on Facebook, in fact, where they've continued performing. I've seen several soloists pulling out their violins or violas and various concerti and explaining, for example, what the piece is, things about the composer and whoever's watching, what they should be listening for. And so I think that's also been very creative of your musicians.
Yeah, so the musicians during COVID, you know, have been, their life has been, I have to say, very disrupted. You know, most of our musicians play in multiple ensembles and multiple orchestras, and combine that with maybe some private teaching or teaching at a university or maybe teaching at high school. And so all of them are dealing with a completely different type of life, and it's been challenging. But I have to say that they're really coming through. They've been very, very excited about coming back to Symphony Hall to perform any sort of little concert. You know, normally they would be in our hall every single month. We'd have them there for at least a service of rehearsals and two concerts. So this is a different kind of time period for musicians. But what's really exciting is seeing some of the creative things they have done online on their own. One of our cellists in New York actually just sent a video of him playing a piece, the Bacchianus Brasilianus by Villa-Lobos, which is written for eight cellos, and so he's playing all eight cello parts, you know, and there are eight windows of him. So a lot of musicians are expanding their video skills, their recording skills, and all of these skill sets will be helpful to us later on when we come out of COVID as more ways to reach out to our audiences. You know, but I have to say that the musicians, of all the people hit, I think they're in a difficult position. Many of them are on unemployment because they don't have any other work coming in the arts right now.
Yeah, I think COVID-19 has hit the arts overall very, very hard because it's difficult. It's an art form that you go out to your audience or you present to an audience, or even with the Baum School or other arts activities, you're very limited, so...
Yeah.
One of the other things, and I know it's past, however, the virtual ball. Typically, the symphony ball is like the place to be. It's always an enjoyable time. It's always interesting. You have auctions. You have musicians. And so this year, again, unfortunately, it was a bit different. How would you expand on that and tell your audience, our listening audience, how you've organized it?
Yeah, I'll jump in first, and then Al can. I know Al's been working on it incessantly for the last week or so. But, you know, we were faced with the fact that, you know, our symphony has always had the ball for, you know, 71 years on the first weekend in February. And we felt we needed to do something on the first weekend in February as a ball, but obviously could not do a ball in person. So we immediately began to investigate virtual ideas of a virtual program. And so that is what we've come up with, and Lucy Blois, one of our staff, really ran with this ball, and we have a wonderful guest MC, Danny Roebuck, who many people know from Matlock, where he was an actor in that show. He's been doing a lot of filming in the Valley. He narrates this. We've got, you know, testimonies from different people throughout the community talking about the importance of the symphony. All proceeds are going to our educational program, so we talk a lot about the El Sistema program. And then interspersed with that, we have musical selections that feature the orchestra and that kind of let people remember these wonderful concerts that we've performed in the past. So it's been a heroic effort of the staff and to come up with this whole concept. And Al, why don't you talk a little bit maybe about the layers we've added with the wine tasting and all the fun things that go along with it, as well as our silent auction.
Yes, it's also worth pointing out, too, we have a volunteer ball committee which works with the staff very closely to put together, and they have been wonderful to work with. They provide a great sounding board for us. And in order to make this a little more special by going beyond just the video presentation of the ball, we have wine tastings that are happening. Wine is a very, very popular amongst many people and certainly our audiences. And we partnered with two separate vineyards, one in California, one in Oregon, to offer a pre-event wine tasting, virtual wine tasting. So our sponsors are going to be on them, but people were also able to purchase tickets and wine. Some wine was mailed to people, but we also created a pickup from Miller Symphony Hall where people came and picked up their wine. So a lot of creativity, and really that was received very well by the community and people who typically attend our ball. We also have, as part of the structure of where the video is broadcast online, we have a silent auction. So there's an online silent auction that just concluded yesterday on Sunday, and it allowed us to continue that element of the ball as well. People could bid online. So it's been a very intensive experience, but it enabled us to do with our ball what we've been doing on our programming, which is remain connected to our audiences, demonstrate activity, and especially in the case of the ball, it's a direct fundraiser for us. So that helps us with our delivering what we're doing with our mission. The video itself, I really have to credit Danny Roebuck and his wife Tammy, who really produced and edited it. We worked with them very closely, and I think the product came out really well in the end. So it was quite an experience, and I look forward to have a ball in person.
Mm-hmm. I think we all are looking forward to that. Excellent. So you've had so much that you've had to revise and reconfigure during this whole COVID pandemic, and Symphony has done a wonderful job in coming through and staying connected with your audience and everyone who has an interest in symphony. Diane, one more item I'd like to speak about is your chair sponsorships. So could you talk to that? Because obviously people are still making their donations to Symphony.
Yes, and this is a program that we started maybe about 3 or 4 years ago now, and one of my goals is to have every single member of the symphony sponsored, and I know that, Karen, you're very generous, and you sponsor two of our musicians. I think it's very important. It sends a great message to the musician when they see someone's name underneath their name in the program booklet, and we're fostering relationships because now people that are sponsoring musicians can go backstage, they can talk with their musician, you know, they can cheer them on. You know, some of our musicians drive from a distance. It's really great for them to know that there's a person in that audience that's really there listening specifically to them. Or it might be someone that's in this community that is known and loved, and somebody wants to show their support by sponsoring that musician. My goal is to have every single musician of the Allentown Symphony sponsored, and we are very close to that goal. I think last I checked, we only had about 10 musicians that were not sponsored, and that's out of 72 musicians, so that's pretty phenomenal.
Wow.
But if anyone out there is listening and would like to step up and sponsor musicians, this is something you can do every single year, but it's just a great way to get involved with the symphony and to show support.
So in our final minute, is there anything else either of you would like to mention that is close to your hearts?
I'd like to mention, and then I think Al has something, but there's a new program that's going to be coming out. I'm just going to throw a little teaser out there and tell people to be watching the Allentown Symphony website. But in one of our goals this spring to connect even more with people throughout the Lehigh Valley, we're going to be rolling out a program called Sidewalk Serenades. And this will be where musicians will actually come to someone's house to perform a short program, and where you can have your neighbors and friends, whatever, you know, socially distanced, but in your yard or in your driveway. And we just thought this was a really great way for, one, to provide some more work for our musicians and some more exposure, but also to really connect with our community throughout the region. So this will be something, there will be a fee to have them come, but it's a great way to support our musicians and to also encourage people to have a little event at their house. So watch the Symphony website, because information will be going up there probably in March about this program.
Al?
And yeah, really quick, piggybacking on that live experience with the outdoor Diane just mentioned and talking about relationships with the musicians we try to develop, it all goes back to in-person live performance, which is really the core of what we are. The virtual things have been wonderful in response to the pandemic, but this is all told really showed us how important live performance is. And so we really look forward to having in-person audiences as soon as it's safe to do so. And that's going to be central to us. And I think that that's important to be stated.
My name is Karen Elchar. I've been your host, and I've been very pleased to have my guests today as Diane Witry, Maestro of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, and Al Jacobson, Executive Director, Allentown Symphony Association. My thanks to both of you and best wishes.
Well, thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
And thank you, our listeners, for tuning in to Lehigh Valley Art Salon.